I invite entrepreneurs to think about what you're good at and where you don't have skills and experience. And you can create your own board of advisors. You can tap into the SCORE or other mentor networks. And that is the way companies are built. It's really built on the team, but you as the founder have the vision. And so it's getting that vision enacted and implemented that makes the difference between just having the idea and having the company.
Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, I'm Liz Sarah, currently the president of the SCORE Foundation. Foundation is the philanthropic arm for SCORE, which provides mentoring and programs at no charge to help small business owners and entrepreneurs around the country. I'm delighted to be with Sylvia and me today.
Liz, thank you so much for returning to the podcast. When we spoke about a year ago, a little over a year ago, you were the chair of the National Women's Business Council. And that was really a federal agency that advocates for female founders. So it's not so surprising that this next move, which is a recent move as of the beginning of 2022, to president of the SCORE Foundation. And as you mentioned, SCORE, which a lot of people don't really know about, it's a resource, it's a free resource that is for small businesses, people looking to start a business. And it's full of volunteers, mentors, and you know, the mentors and volunteers are all professionals in their field, whether it be business or legal or finance. It's not just one person. So tell me, what drew you to actually this particular foundation, SCORE?
Sylvia, it was such a natural fit for me with my background in working with small business owners and entrepreneurs. For the last 20 years, I had a marketing agency focused on helping startups in the high-tech space. And all of us know that so many small businesses don't make it past the very first year. And one of the issues that causes their downfall is lack of the right advice, never having done it before, and making, you know, mistakes along the way that we all make, and lacking the amount of capital that's really needed to get a business off the ground. So when the opportunity presented itself for me to help bring the SCORE Foundation and the SCORE mentoring and free services available to even more entrepreneurs around the country, I couldn't say no, because it's what I have been so passionate about throughout my entire career. I've been a small business owner in many different industries. I mentioned my marketing agency for 20 years, but before that, I was an entrepreneur and co-founder in getting a software company off the ground. That was during the decade of the 90s when there were not very many women in the tech field. There's still not too many women in the tech field today. But back then, there were even fewer women starting software companies. And I know I could have personally benefited from having an access to a mentor or several mentors that could have helped me make some better decisions or avoiding some of the painful decisions that had to be undone, you know, throughout the course of getting that company up and running and successful.
Well, so for- I don't mean to interrupt you. Actually, I do mean to interrupt you. One of the things that we had talked about is, I know we're mentioning women. It seems like women are the greater part of entrepreneurship these days due to circumstances, whether it be the pandemic, which was a big change for women having to stay home. there are men also who are starting small businesses who don't have that background that they might think they have. But one of the things that we had talked about before was the kitchen table business that so many women had been starting. And one of the things that I know from SCORE is the fact that SCORE will help someone who has a kitchen table. And we mean, you know, someone starting off in their kitchen, really not knowing how to take whatever they're doing any further. And most people who are successful do start, and it's an idea. So how do you see SCORE fitting in there? And then I want to talk about the foundation. But first, how do you see SCORE fitting in to actually help people who have what we call a kitchen table? They have one employee, their own, you know, it's themselves. How do we go about then presenting something that we're doing to get in touch with SCORE?
So to one of your earlier points, last year alone, almost 60% of all the small business entrepreneurs that tapped into the SCORE resources were women. So, you know, 6 out of 10 small business owners were females that approach SCORE to request a mentor and participate in mentoring sessions or watch one of the online programs or access some of the content that is available to all small business owners. 44% of all of the small businesses that accessed SCORE services last year were minorities, and 9% were veterans. So the organization is reaching out into many of the underserved communities of entrepreneurs and helping them get their entrepreneurial dreams off the ground. And to your point about the Main Street or the kitchen table businesses, most small businesses do not have any employees. In fact, one of the data points I believe I shared last time we chatted when I was with the National Women's Business Council is that of the 12.5 million women-owned businesses in the country, 90% of those have no employees. So where does SCORE come in? SCORE comes in with a network of 10,000 volunteer mentors that are all over the country that work through 250 chapters. So there is not a distance that is too great for anyone who has a small business idea, or maybe even something that has gotten off the ground just a little bit, to be able to tap someone that could help with everything from, gee, I'm thinking about having a retail company, whether it's a boutique or a bakery or any other variation thereof, but I'm not sure I know how to really negotiate a lease with a landlord, or whether I should be on this street or that street, and what factors should I consider, to how do I price my offering, or how do I look at the competition and glean certain data points from them that I could then apply to my business to make me look better or different or more compelling. So the resources that SCORE can offer through its mentors touch on every single aspect of running a company. And the hope here is that we help more and more people start companies that might just be an idea in the back of their mind. For example, last year alone, the SCORE programs helped almost 25,000 new businesses get off the ground. And that's a really big deal, because new businesses and small businesses in general, through job creation and through the services and products they offer, bring vibrancy to the neighborhoods we live in. They bring economic impact to the communities where they operate. And ultimately, they bring new jobs into those states and localities where they're located. And so whether it's a woman-owned business or a minority-owned business, many of us make the decisions as to where we live based on what are those programs and what are those services and what are those businesses that we can easily walk to or easily drive to that make living there special.
And the other thing, as you said, it's free. And, you know, someone is starting off a business, whether it be a, you know, small business, a kitchen table business, and they really, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to approach anything. One, they don't have the finances to go out and get a professional to help them write a business plan and sit there and think about what their life is going to be, what do they really want to do, and so on and so forth. Whereas what SCORE offers are professionals who will cut to the chase. They will ask you what it is your goal is, why are you doing this? And then they'll help you figure out whether it is viable. And if it is viable, how to go about doing it. And the fact that there are segments, there are different mentors for different pieces of a business, because a business is made up of different pieces, whether it be legal and finance and HR and marketing and so on and so forth. So I know from personal experience, they do have the resources in all the different areas and categories that one would need with business. So tell me, what do you see as the most, I know you touched on technology and how women are really a minority in that field, and not so much because they're a minority, but women don't think of going into that field. It's usually thought of as not something that they would normally do. They have a passion about something else and don't realize that what they're talking about really can be transferred into technology, which is a huge boom for, you know, for industry. So how do you see being able to take what someone perceives as their passion and really turn it into something that's viable?
So the kinds of programs that SCORE has available really serve to adapt to the different ways that each of us like to gain information. Some people like to watch a video, some people like to read something, some people like to have a template. So just for the sake of example, numerous corporations assist SCORE by sponsoring webinars on topics that are important to small business owners. And just last year, there probably were nearly, looking at the numbers, almost 250,000 attendees to some of those national workshops and webinars that have been sponsored by SCORE and many of the corporate sponsors that helped to make those programs available free. When we look at how many small business owners tapped some of the content resources on the SCORE website, there were over 5 million visitors to the SCORE website last year, downloading business plan templates or checklists on these are the key marketing things you need to keep in mind to get your business off the ground. And then here's what you need to do from a marketing standpoint to grow it. So every subject that you rattled off, Sylvia, are covered by a variety of content areas, whether it's on-demand courses, whether it's an article or a white paper from the website that can be downloaded, or whether it's local and regional programs. So each of the 250 chapters have a set of volunteers working with the entrepreneurs in those backyards and doing programs at the local level. So there are many often workshops that take place either virtually or in person, depending on the geography. There are speakers, there are access to mentoring sessions in person or virtually. So you don't only have to access what's happening across the country at the national level. There are plenty of resources across the country, right in your neighborhood in many cases, where you could network with other entrepreneurs and tap into the vast resources of the mentors that are right there for you as well.
So tell us about SCORE Foundation, the philanthropic arm of SCORE?
So the foundation plays an important role in bringing sponsors and other foundations to the table that wish to support small business entrepreneurship. Their resources and their financial contributions help to make all of these programs available at no cost to the small business owners. So FedEx is one of the SCORE Foundation sponsors. Altria is another SCORE Foundation sponsor. And these organizations are making their resources available to support those programs, whether they're on-demand curriculum, whether they're just bringing attention to nationwide programs like the Federal Express Small Business Grant that is currently open. And I just read that this week they have established the 100 finalists that are now up for people to vote for. So all of these programs help to bring attention to the importance of the small business community in the nation and the impact that small businesses have on job creation and on the GDP, if you will. So just about any corporation that is interested in supporting the small business efforts, whether it's in their region or across the country, can get involved in any number of ways. So there are specific programs that we can offer that might focus on an underserved community of entrepreneurs, such as minority or Hispanic entrepreneurs. Or there are programmatic areas that can be supported, like a webinar series or an on-demand curriculum on how to pitch investors for outside funding into your early stage company. And so, you know, I invite people to look into some of the things that they're looking to accomplish in their organization, whether it's a marketing strategic initiative, whether it's an HR diversity and inclusion initiative, and, you know, speak with us, reach out to us to see how you can support your initiatives at the small business level.
So they're getting quite a bit from joining and giving whatever they can to SCORE, whether, as you said, the FedEx and the grants. At the same time, they're getting notoriety, which is what they want. It's their marketing, but they're supporting an organization that is looking to create new businesses, which will put more into the economy, more jobs being created. Where do you see the greatest need?
For small business owners?
For small business owners, where do we see that greatest need?
So I think that we can look at a number of areas. So one is, how do we ensure that rural communities across the country have the same access to the resources that big cities have and have in place, like New York, DC, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, in supporting small business and innovation? Very often, the rural communities do not have the level of incubators and accelerators and entrepreneurship centers that we see in big cities that may have 5, 6, 7 universities, all with entrepreneurship centers. When I look at the DC area, we have an entrepreneurship center in 6 major universities here that all have tentacles into the local community to support entrepreneurship there. We need to make sure that rural communities have that access. And with many things having gone virtual during the pandemic, I think we see the opportunity to keep many things virtual, because what it does is bring access to more people in an easier approach than having to get in a car and drive an hour and a half to meet with somebody face to face. So since we've all gotten very adjusted to doing Zoom sessions and online sessions and meeting virtually, that makes mentorship that much easier. Because if you're an individual that would like to start a fashion business in a rural community, you probably want to tap some of the major fashion experts that exist in some of the big cities like New York, one of the fashion capitals of the world. And by doing things on a virtual level, there's more access to resources that might not be located in that geography, but might be available in that geography. So a great need is, how do we prop up rural communities? And with access to information online, specifically geared to getting a small business off the ground, we help to make that possible. The second big area that I think is a great need, and this is across all small businesses, whether they're women founded or any founded type small business, it's really having access and getting access to that important capital to get that business going. As I had mentioned earlier, lack of capital is one of the primary reasons that small businesses fail. And there's various forms of capital. We talked about the Federal Express Small Business Grants. There are many organizations that make grants available to underserved entrepreneurs. So I invite you to spend a little time doing online research on those types of grants geared to early stage and startup companies that might be in your industry or that might be in support of the kind of founder that you are, either by gender or by ethnicity. The second thing is, understand that there are more than one ways to fund your small business. Some types of businesses are very geared toward getting business loans or leases. And so don't overlook the ability to be able to understand how you can apply for a commercial loan that can be used for some things that other industries have to use equity capital for. So look at all of the different sources that there are, exist for capital, and see which apply to the kind of business that you are.
And that's, let's take a second right in there, because that's something, as you said, there are many different ways of getting capital and funding, and people don't know about them. And this is another thing that the organization is able to make them aware of, which is huge.
Sure. And, you know, many people are not aware that the SBA, the Small Business Administration, has relationships with regional banks around the country to make available SBA-backed loans. Now, the loans don't come from the SBA. The loans come from that regional bank, but they are backed by the SBA. So it makes it that much easier for a small business owner to apply for a commercial loan. And so I would invite small business owners around the country to look into the local and regional banks in your area. You know, one of the things that emerged during the early days of the pandemic, when the PPP was announced, was that many of the small businesses that were not exactly small, the way we're thinking of small, like 1 to 2 to 3 employees, but very large organizations that still qualified under the way the definitions were written, were getting very large PPP loans from very large banks. The end of the day is that small businesses will fare better when they're doing business with local and regional banks, because they have resources that are geared to smaller organizations. So don't overlook and don't make a default decision on where your banking is going to take place for your small business, because many of the local banks have access to the kinds of programs that will be useful to your small company, whereas the global banks tend to have the resources and programs dealing with publicly traded and very large national and global firms.
So during the pandemic and going forward, have you seen more small businesses that have started and are on the path to succeed and be sustainable?
Well, interestingly enough, there was a very large uptick in the number of small businesses that were started at the end of 2020. In fact, it was many multiples larger than that same quarter the year before. So what does that tell us? That sometimes adversity really does breed innovation and opportunity. And we saw that materialize in the number of new EIN numbers issued by the federal government. So when you start your small business, one of the things that everyone does is get a federal ID number. Well, by tracking the numbers of new federal ID numbers issued for brand new small businesses, we were able to see how many more were established in that fourth quarter of 2020 than ever before. And so is there a good time to start a small business? Every time is a good time. There's no ideal month or economic period. It's, are you willing to take that plunge and make your vision, make your dream become a reality? And I have always found in working with small business owners and having been one myself, that if you really have passion and excitement for that idea, you're going to be well on the way, because we all know how hard it is and how many hours a day it takes for you to devote your time, your expertise, your brain power to getting your company off the ground and on its way to financial success. So love what you're going to do and maintain that passion and go do it. Go and do it.
But do it properly. And yes, that's one of the things that SCORE really gives to people. It allows them to get the free resources and to get the map of how to do it properly and how to be successful. And successful can mean many different things to many different people, but to be able to sustain it. And really see where your passion is going and where your business is going to go on a realistic basis, because not every dream and passion can be turned into a business. A lot can. And one of the things, as I said before, is that the mentors at SCORE will dig deep into what it is you want to do, what your goal is, and is it viable? And if it's viable, which most of the time it is, and people don't realize it, that's why they don't take that next step, then you have all the resources there in one place. And for being able to do it virtual now, they're able to tap into so many more resources that you offer.
You know, there's a tremendous amount of resources available. And to your point, it's those resources helping entrepreneurs make the distinction between, is this idea just a hobby, or does this idea have the potential to be a thriving business in my community? Whatever it might be, whether it's a consulting firm, whether it's a bakery, whatever flavor that business might take it, you know, itself. But the kinds of things that every entrepreneur needs to think about really don't change a whole lot between one industry or one type of company to the next. There are basic business principles that underlie everything. And it's really understanding, as an entrepreneur, what are my strengths? What do I have to, you know, bring to the table that I'm good at? And where do I lack experience? And then it's going to SCORE and other, you know, outsiders who can bring those missing components. When I think about when I co-founded the software company, I had two other co-founders with me. So what I brought to the table had nothing to do with software development and programming and computer science. That was not me at all. That was one of my other co-founders. I brought the business and the marketing talent to the table. I was the one figuring out, well, what are we going to build and who are we going to sell it to and who's our audience and what price do we put on and how do we make money and what's our go-to-market strategy? And our third co-founder was the financier. You know, he had money to help us bootstrap in those early years. So together, the three of us had three distinct areas of expertise that combined help us bring that company into fruition. We didn't overlap at all in our experience. And I invite entrepreneurs to think about what you're good at and where you don't have skills and experience. And you can create your own board of advisors. You can tap into the SCORE or other mentor networks. And that is the way companies are built. It's really built on the team, but you as the founder have the vision. And so it's getting that vision enacted and implemented that makes the difference between just having the idea and having the company.
And I was going to ask you what your advice would be. And you basically just said it, and that is knowing where your strengths are and being able to look for others who can then fill the gaps of where your strength is not. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. It means that you're building a successful entity.
Absolutely. And if we look at the successful companies that we all know by name and, reputation in the market, it's really all about the team. Yes, there's the visionary leader at the top that maybe had the idea and, fought and overcame numerous obstacles. But at the end of the day, it was never a one-person operation. And so it's really the cumulative impact of all the experiences of the people you bring together, both your employees, your outside contractors, your board of directors, your advisors, and your network that help pull all of that together and help you become successful.
Liz, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about SCORE and the foundation?
So I would invite people to come to either website, scorefoundation.org or score.org. I would invite people to connect with me personally on LinkedIn. I'm always sharing information about what we are up to and what we are doing to help small businesses and entrepreneurs with their ideas become small businesses. I'm on LinkedIn as Liz Serra, and I hope to hear from many of you.
Well, one of the things when we first started talking, we talked in the beginning of March about the fact that March was Women's History Month. March is Women's History Month. Somebody came up with that, and that's the way it's been for quite some time. And the fact that every month and every day is a Women's History Month and day because there are women moving forward. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come back and be on the podcast again. And I really, I believe that what SCORE has to offer is something that entrepreneurs and people starting small businesses should look into, because it's free and it's got a wide variety of topics and subjects and you name it. And Liz, again, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sylvia. I really enjoyed it. And I really appreciate your interest in helping us get the word out, both about the SCORE Foundation and the programs.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you liked what you heard, please share it with another person you think would be interested. And if you haven't already, please subscribe.
This has been a Life of Prey production.